Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Berit Hadashah Ministries is a ministry dedicated to educating and teaching the largely Gentile church about the Jewish nature and essence of the Christian faith, and secondly, reintroducing the Jewishness of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, and the New Testament back to the Jewish people in Israel through gospel outreach missions there. And we need your support to do this. Times are tough. Giving is down. But we, as the body of the Messiah, as the church, have been given the great commission by the captain of the hosts of the Lord, Jesus Himself. We are to take this gospel, the good news of His salvation, to the world, and as Romans 1:16, and as the ministry of Jesus and the apostles clearly tell us, that great commission is to start with the Jewish people. And that's what we do. We've been on the air now for a long time, suffice it to say, and we need to hear from you. We need your support so that we can continue these broadcasts and continue our outreach to Israel for Yeshua the Messiah. We continue today with our great study on Messianic prophecy. Our series is entitled The Marvelous Messiah. The Marvelous Messiah. And in this great study, we are looking at all the major messianic prophecies given in the Bible, that is, prophecies concerning the Messiah. And our present subdivision under that heading and subject of prophecies about the Messiah deal with His deity. The Scriptures clearly tell us that the Messiah would be more than just a human being, more than a sage teacher, more than a great political king, ruler, and military conqueror. No, He was to be very God of very God, revealed in the person, the human person of the Messiah. We were talking about how the term found in the Scripture used of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, this term clearly denotes His deity as God. And we find that the frequent mention or term of the Son of God bears powerful testimony to the truth of His deity. Keep in mind that the title Son of God denotes that Jesus the Messiah implies and in the New Testament fully reveals from the implied prophecies of the Old Testament fully reveals that the Son of God, Messiah, Son of God, is so because He bears the nature of God Himself and therefore expresses it in a flesh and blood human body. Everything the Son is, the Father is, and the Father is perfectly expressed, revealed, and shown, manifested in the Son of God. Significant to also point out, the Son of God is never used of His supernatural virgin birth. Why? Well, because it was not by Messiah's physical conception and birth that His filial and eternal relationship with God the Father was established. No, He existed as God the Son from eternity past. For He was God, Jesus as Messiah. Jesus the Messiah was God's eternal Son before He became the physical Son of Mary. So whenever Jesus the Messiah is called the Son of the Father, there is, in that term, explained and emphasized the complete and solemn setting forth of the indivisible union of Jesus with the Father in sharing the same divine essence of the Godhead. That says a lot, but basically what it's saying is that Jesus is God. And He is one of the three exclusive members of the one Godhead. He is denominated the Son of God. And this eternal existence with the Father, God the Son and God the Father, existing together in union, sharing the same divine nature, was a union existing before time, existence, and the universe began. Unfortunately, though, throughout the history of the church, and I must add, in some quarters of the messianic movement today, Messiah Jesus' deity has been denied. Bible believers, particularly evangelicals, on the other hand, while not denying Christ's humanity, have tended to neglect it. And this is true because one group wants to make certain that he be seen as fully human, while the other group wishes to present him altogether as God. And the biblical truth that strikes a balance declares he is both. He is the Anthropos, as we've said before on this subject. He is Jesus, Messiah, is the God-man. Both his perfect humanity and his undiminished deity are therefore absolutely essential to the scriptural portrait of him. And in keeping with the revealed contents of messianic prophecy. We've seen that. My heavens, we've seen that in Isaiah, we've seen it in Zechariah. We'll go back to Genesis 3 with the proto-evangelium, the seed of the woman. And you will see that Messiah was to be both human and divine, or he would be deity. Same thing there. And so, when we ascribe undiminished deity to Messiah Jesus, we affirm, along with the church, the Orthodox Church, and by that I mean the church holding to right and proper doctrine, reflected and taught in Scripture, affirm Jesus is absolutely and truly God. Now, liberals will typically speak of Jesus as being divine or godlike. He was the Son of God in that he was nearest to God than anyone else and acted most like him. And Jesus, therefore, merely gives us a pattern or an example we are to follow. But those who teach these things infinitely fall short of proclaiming who Jesus the Messiah truly is as revealed from Scripture. And in doing so, they fail to do justice to biblical language concerning Messiah Jesus' deity. While on the other hand, those who hold to biblical orthodoxy continue to affirm the historic orthodox, that is correct, view that Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, is as much God as the Father is God. You know, I don't think we fully comprehend the amazing fact of Messiah's incarnation, that He, Jesus the Messiah, is as much God as the Father is God. That's why He told Philip in John 14, Philip, why do you ask me, show us the Father? He that sees me or is looking at me sees the Father. An astounding confession that Jesus makes there, telling Philip that when one looks upon Jesus, the Messiah and Lord. He is seeing God in all His visible manifestation. And with that, the disciples had no more questions concerning who Jesus was and is. So when they saw Jesus, when they knew Jesus, it was at the same time coming to see and know God. For Jesus the Messiah, as the prophets foretold, came as God incarnate. No question about that. When we look at the deity of Messiah in the Scriptures, we see at least, according to theologian Robert P. Leitner, in his most excellent work, Handbook of Evangelical Theology, he gives us at least six lines of evidence from Scripture testifying to Jesus the Messiah as God. First, Jesus was called God. Isaiah 9:6, John 1:1, and verse 14, Hebrews 1:8. Second, Messiah Jesus possesses attributes of God. That certainly cinches it there for the case of Jesus being God. Jesus is eternal, John 17:5. Omnipresent, John 3:13. And I might add, also, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He affirmed His omnipresence when He said, I am with you always, to the end of the age. He also, as God, Jesus, possessed omniscience and omnipotence. For omniscience, we have John 2:25. For His omnipotence, we have Hebrews 1:3. And Jesus, as God, was immutable, Hebrews 13:8. So this is what Jesus is as God. He possesses the same attributes that belong to God alone. Jesus proved He was Messiah God, also by the things that He did that only God, by His authority and power and nature, could do. And that would be the fact He performed works that only God could perform, such as creation, Colossians 1:16. Through Jesus, God created the universe. Preservation, Jesus with God holds the universe together, Colossians 1:17. Providence, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Hebrews 1:2, Jesus gave forgiveness of sins, Luke 5:20-24. Jesus will execute God's judgment, John 5:22. Jesus as Messiah, revealing Himself to be God, demanded honor and worship due only to God, Matthew 14:33 and John 5:23. And here is where Jesus either has to be God here, or he is a blasphemer of the worst magnitude, because He demanded worship from those who followed Him. When Jesus demanded worship, He placed Himself immediately outside the pale of Judaism, particularly as it was professed, believed, and elaborated upon by the religious authorities of His day, primarily led by the Parashim, the Pharisees, because to them such a claim smacked of idolatry and blasphemy. But on the other hand, if Jesus was who He said He was, God in the flesh, then such worship would be not only normal, understandable, but it would be the right thing to do since God was in their midst. And certainly one can infer that since Jesus, as a good, upstanding Torah observant Jew, obeyed the law in all points, He would not be so brazen as to then violate the chief law in Judaism, as expressed in the first and second commandment of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue in Exodus 20, and that would be, I am the Lord God, you shall have no other gods before me. And the second commandment, prohibiting worship, the worship of other gods. And so Jesus is either who he said he is, God in the flesh, or again, he's the greatest blasphemer and liar of all history. C.S. Lewis kind of summed it up in his famous trilemma. Either Jesus is Lord, liar, or lunatic. Some have added a fourth. He's either Lord, liar, lunatic, or a fabrication of his followers that simply put these great claims of deity in his mouth. So, you have to choose. Is Jesus God, or is he a mere man? I think the evidence from Scripture, history, and the testimony of those who are with him clearly point to the fact that he was indeed Lord Almighty. And as such, Messiah Jesus exhibited his deity by making divine claims to hold authority over the laws and institutions of God. For instance, the Sabbath. Also, Jesus, as God, commanded his followers to pray in his name. Again, the Torah observant Jew of that day would only pray to Adonai, Yahweh. And yet Jesus, throughout John chapters 14 through 17, exhorts and commands his disciples to pray in his name. As God, Messiah Jesus also said that he met in himself all the spiritual and eternal needs of humanity. And in all these claims, in the end, Jesus unequivocally said that he was equal with God. And so what we have in the Messiah is the union of the divine God, deity, and humanity. The Belgic Confession, Great Protestant Belgic Confession, of 1562 expresses it this way. We confess, speaking of Jesus, we confess that he is very God and very man. Very God by his power to conquer death, and very man that he might die for us. The Westminster Shorter Catechism of 1647 says this, concerning the union of humanity and deity in Messiah Jesus. He continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. I think that brilliantly sums up the biblical revelation of who Messiah would be and is. He was prophesied to be the Son of Man and prophesied to be eternal God. And so, for the believer, to deny either the undiminished deity or the perfect humanity of Christ is to show at once he is not a true believer. And it is to put oneself outside the pale of biblical orthodoxy, what both testaments teach. Equally as the theologians have expressed it, equally essential to Orthodox theology, biblical Orthodox theology, is the belief that these two, the divine and human nature of Messiah Jesus, are inseparable and will remain eternally united in the person of Jesus. This is what theologians call the hypostatic union. two natures united and existing and dwelling in one person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from this union, Jesus could not have been mediator between God and man. For if he had only been a man, his death could not have atoned for man's sin. On the other hand, if he had been only God, he could not have died, since God cannot die. If he had not been man, he would not have had a genuine link with humanity and would not have had perfect sympathy with man. And so in the union of the human and divine in Messiah Jesus, each of the natures retained its own attributes. In other words, deity did not permeate humanity, nor did humanity become absorbed into deity. The two natures retain their complete identity, even though they have been joined together in a personal union. Thus, Jesus Christ is the anthropic in person. He is the God-man. Embracing perfect humanity made him no less God, and retaining his undiminished deity did not make him less than human. And we see this throughout the Scripture, certainly in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. He spoke of himself as one. He never distinguished himself as a divine person from himself as a human person. Both of the natures in Jesus are seen in Scripture to be united in one person. This is indeed a great theological mystery. This union of deity and humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. Truly, as Dr. Robert Leitner says on this grand subject, truly the relation of the human and divine in Christ will remain inscrutable to us. We do not have any analogies to it in our own natures or experiences. But the fact of this mystery must not deter us from accepting by faith the consistent biblical teaching. The great Princeton theologian, back when Princeton was still biblically conservative, B.B. Warfield wrote of this great mystery of the joining of the divine and the human natures in the person of Christ. He states, "We can never hope to comprehend how the infinite God and finite humanity can be united in one single person. And it is very easy to go fatally astray in attempting to explain the interactions in the unitary person of nature so diverse from each other." And so, in the person of Messiah Jesus, we have the divine nature, God, and the human nature joined together. And that humanity of the Messiah was perfect. So, in Jesus you have the divine nature, making him fully God, joined with the human nature, making him fully perfect man. A very important distinction to maintain. And so, we do have four gleams of this, of the two natures united in the one person, Messiah. We do have these four gleams revealed in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 3:25, when there was a theophany of the second person of the Trinity, who appeared in the furnace and preserved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being consumed by the flames burning in the fiery furnace. Remember what the king said when he looked in there and he saw the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, the Son of God. Daniel 9:3, 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now, other translations in Hebrew have that pluralized to read, "the Son of the Gods." And so, to correct him, it was the Son of God. And therefore, a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, who is proclaimed the Son of God when he appeared to save Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the Old Testament book of the prophet Daniel. It is true that other people are spoken of as sons of God. Angels are spoken as sons of God in Job, the book of Job 1:6 and 38:7. And in the New Testament, so are Christians in Romans 8:14 and 19. Though all men may be the creatures of God, not all are His sons and daughters. We know the Scripture, God's Word tells us, the ungodly are not God's children. No, they are the spiritual offspring of Satan the devil. The only way a sinner can become a child of God, a son or daughter of God, is by spiritual rebirth, activated by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Once the sinner turns, repents, and places his trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. So they are sons of God by adoption. Jesus is uniquely and alone the Son of God by sharing in the divine nature with God in equal fashion. The deity of Jesus the Messiah could not be more fitly or forcibly expressed in the words of Herbert Lockyer in his book All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible, when he states, this is so with the opening sentence of Mark's Gospel, which states, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The evangelist Mark then goes on to declare his deity in every chapter. So again, liberal theology is inclined to say that Jesus is just one among many sons of God. He is the first and the prime example we are to follow. But that is not true. Jesus clearly is proclaimed through messianic prophecy to that end and its fulfillment in the New Testament. Jesus is proclaimed the only well-beloved Son of the Father, a relationship unshared by any other and therefore absolutely unique, a revelation which was given. Again, we go back to Peter's confession in Matthew 16 when he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So here we have both the Messiahship and the deity of Christ. Not two separate things, for one is interrelated and connected with the other. If you choose to believe Yeshua is the Messiah, you must automatically therefore believe that He is God. And the Son of God is the very denotation of that fact. Amen. Well, I see my time is waning fast. Until next time we are with you, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.